To our services this morning, and invite you to take your Bibles and open with me. We're going to be looking at several passages of Scripture. I want to tell a story, first of all, that is going to be based out of the book of Exodus chapter 3. And if you'd like to follow along as we tell that story, you'd be welcome to, and we would delight for you to do that. But let me set a background for it in this way. I guess most of us would say that these last couple of months for us have been different. They have been something new with regard to just about everything and every aspect of the life that we have. And hopefully, over these last few months, we have learned a lot. We have been educated a great deal about things that we maybe should have done, maybe should not have done. A lot of different things have occurred to us as we've gone through this learning factor. Well, all of this has reminded me of a story that I heard, a lesson that was presented when I was in college. Back in the days when I was at David Lipscomb University, I transferred there from Freed-Hardeman College. I'd gone through the third year Bible program at Freed-Hardeman and transferred to David Lipscomb. And the first chapel I attended at David Lipscomb, Mack Wayne Craig gave the address for the chapel that morning. And it was the first chapel for the new year. And he was primarily doing it to welcome in freshmen, individuals who were new to David Lipscomb. And I wasn't a freshman, but I was new to David Lipscomb. And he talked about this passage in the book of Exodus chapter 3. And what I want you to do, as we've read the Psalm 139, and I'd like for you to reflect as we read through that about some things that you think about that describe how great our God is. And I want us to focus on one of those things as we go through this story in the book of Exodus chapter 3. The story begins by Moses seeing something he had never seen before. And Mack Wayne Craig, in his lesson, talks about it as being something new, something different. And it was not only new for Moses and different just for Moses, it was new for all humanity. I dare say no human being in the world had ever seen a bush on fire, burning and yet not being burned and not being burned up. But Moses saw this bush, and this bush was burning. And he watched, and as he watched, it continued to burn, but it did not burn up. And so he made the decision to go over to see this great sight, this amazing sight, this thing that's new, this thing that's different. And he went over to the burning bush in order to see it. And when he arrived, he learned three lessons. And those three lessons are what the heart of Mack Wayne Craig's message was that morning. And I want to share with you the heart of that message he gave that I still remember to this day, and it still means a great deal to me. So with regard to this, Moses goes over when he sees this strange, amazing sight, this something new. And when he arrives, God speaks to him out of that bush and says, "Take off your sandals, for the ground on which you stand is holy ground." And from there, three main points. The first one is this: whenever we get to something new, it doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't matter where it is, it doesn't matter how different it may be for us, nor how different it may be for anybody else in the world, God is already there. When Moses went to this amazing sight, something he had never seen before, the first thing he learned was God was already there. And that's something we need to remember. Whatever new sight comes our way, God's already there. We were surprised by this epidemic. God wasn't. We didn't know what was going on. God does. Because even though this was something new to us, he's already here. He's been here all along. He's been here long before we ever got here. Moses discovered something else about this something new. God was there, but God had something for Moses to do. Same is true for us. No matter what new thing we might face, what new thing we go through, every day we wake up to is a new day for us. And every day we wake up to, God is already there, and God has something for us to do. With Moses, it was for him to go back to the land of Egypt and lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian captivity. But God had something for Moses to do. And the third thing that God tells Moses and describes for Moses is also true of every new situation that we will face. Whatever it is that God has for us to do, he will help us do it. And that's exactly the case. Now look at the help. Moses was specifically asked, basically, when you boil it all down, to do one thing. Moses wasn't asked to perform miracles. He wasn't asked to control bugs or to control diseases, nor any of those other things. God was going to do all of that. It was going to be by God's power that the children of Israel would come out of the land of Egypt, not by the power of Moses. Moses had a job to do. Can you summarize what Moses' job was? If we think about it, it's the same job we have today. If we think about it, it's the very heart of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be faithful to God. So what, in essence, was Moses' job that he was supposed to do? Three things: believe God, say what God says, and do what God says to do. That's all Moses had to do. That was Moses' life. That was how Moses was going to bring the children of Israel out of that Egyptian captivity. That's how he was going to be the helper with God, allowing God to work through him to accomplish that. It was really God doing it. And Moses' job and responsibility was, number one, believe God. Number two, just say what God tells you to say. Just say what God has said. And number three, you do what God tells you to do. That is the heart of what it means to be a Christian. That's the heart of what it means to belong to Christ, to belong to God, to be faithful to him in everything that we do. So whatever newness comes our way, even with regard to this epidemic, or whatever new things we face, and we face a lot of them, as children go to school, off to college, empty nesters for the first time, becoming married, having a child, having grandchildren, every new thing that comes our way, God's already there. He has something for us to do. And the bottom line of it is this: believe God, say what he says, and do what he says for us to do. And that's the heart of being what Christ would have us to be. I want to expand on this a little bit in talking about the greatness of our God, and I want you to focus on it from this standpoint. There's nothing new to God. God is always there. He's already there. No matter how far we go into the future, he's already there. No matter how far we want to go back into the past, he's already there. He's eternal, without beginning and without end. And he sees the entire universe that is to by us or for us controlled by time. And he sees it without the control of time, because he is timeless and he is eternal. And for that reason, let's look at some things that the Bible has to say to us that may help us to see just how great our God is. Genesis chapter 45, verses 4 through 8. No telling how long Joseph had cried. No telling how long he had wept, how long he had begged for help from first his brothers, then from God himself. And it seemed like every step that he took, he just got deeper and deeper into trouble and deeper into a hopeless situation as his brothers sold him into Egyptian captivity. And there he finds a job, but not for very long because he's accused wrongly and he's thrown into prison. There he begs for help, eventually thinking he may have some help from two other prisoners that were brought to the prison, especially from one of them, but even that fails him. And he remains condemned and doomed in this prison until Pharaoh has a dream. And Joseph is allowed by God to be able to interpret that dream. And eventually he brings his family to the land of Egypt and there saves them from the famine that's overwhelming the land. I want you to read with me what Joseph writes or what Joseph says in the book of Genesis chapter 45 and verses 4 through verse 8. This is when he identifies himself to his brothers. He's going to have to repeat this two or three times because his brothers cannot accept his forgiveness of them. And they are terrified of what Joseph might do to them. And he has to repeat this again and again. But I want you to notice what he says, and let's read together starting in verse 4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." With all the suffering Joseph was going through, God was already there. God was already in it. God planned it. God intended for it to occur. And he allows Joseph in on it. Early on through dreams, which Joseph nor his entire family didn't understand. But then as things unfold, Joseph begins to see what a great God who knew what was coming before we ever knew it. Knew what was going to happen before we ever dreamed of it. Knew exactly what we needed and provided for us. How great is this God? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. We all understand how sinful we are. We all understand that all of us as human beings have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we know that that all began with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they sinned. But when man sinned, what was God now going to do? Well, it wasn't what God was now going to do. Because Paul makes clear to us in Ephesians what God already had planned to do. And look at the time frame of the planning. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him." Now look at that. God chose us in Christ. Every individual that's saved, Old Testament or New Testament, Adam and Eve are going to be saved if they are saved through what Jesus Christ has done. The blood of Jesus Christ goes backward to every sin that's ever committed, and it goes forward to every sin that's ever going to be committed. And so Paul will say he chose us in him. Look at the time frame. Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Before he ever made the world, before the very first day of creation, God already knew what he was going to do about man's sin, even though man wasn't even created yet. He already knew what he was going to do to make us holy and righteous in his sight. And every bit of it has to do with faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. How great is this God who knows everything before it ever happens, that no matter what new comes to us, he's already there. He's already in it. And he has something for us to do, and he'll help us do it. Psalm 139, verse 14, is the one verse I wanted to go back to in that reading that we had just a few moments ago. And in that passage, when David is describing all the wonders of God, he says this: I am fearfully and wonderfully made. One of the things that keeps coming out over and over again with regard to this epidemic that we're involved in now, and it has from the very beginning, is that what we need to do is to develop herd immunity. That means that to some degree we're going to be needing to be exposed in order that our body can develop an immunity. Our body. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we have been from the very beginning. A baby comes out of the womb. I've had four sons. I now have 9 grandchildren. And when you have all of those children born, you see the similarity that goes through all children. Every single one of us came out of our mother's womb into a brand new environment. An environment we never had before. An environment like nothing where we had been. We came out of our mother's womb into a world full of germs, into a world full of viruses, into a world full of all kinds of diseases and everything that has come into this world since sin entered into it. And so what do you do with this newborn baby who's come into this world full of germs? Well, you start off one way and you wind up another. You start off wanting to protect them from every germ. You soon come to realize you can't do that. They're not going to allow you to do that. And pretty soon you give up on doing that. I remember when some of our first grandchildren were born, our sons introduced us to a new way of calming them down. What we always used was a pacifier. They didn't want to use a pacifier. And so they would wash their hands with the first child that was born for a little while. They would wash their hands and they would stick their finger in the child's mouth and let the child suck on that finger. It didn't take long because of demand of the child and just circumstance where they stopped washing the hand. They just stuck the finger in the mouth. And the same thing happened with us. Even as grandparents, we got to the point where we were allowed just to stick a finger in the mouth. Because the child, it didn't matter. And what was happening when we did that? We were developing immunity. And what does that little child do? That little child will pick up everything it can get its hands on and go straight to its mouth. When it begins to crawl, it will pick up everything that's on the floor and put it in its mouth. You try to guard them from it. You try to protect them from the bad things and the dangerous things, but it doesn't matter. Everything they touch is going to their mouth. What are they doing? They're developing immunity, something that's going to be necessary as they go through life. I remember when our boys were little, we would hunt for people that had childhood diseases so we could expose our kids to them so that they could get those childhood diseases as children. We were building immunity. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in so many aspects of this body that God has created for us to be in. And one of them is its ability to heal itself, its power to stop us from bleeding, its power to heal wounds, its power to put things back together, its power to grow immunity to the diseases that are around us. How great is our God! I hope we learn that. and see it demonstrated to us as we go through the final stages, hopefully, of this epidemic, and that we learn that our God's already here. Our God's already planned for this. Our God's already prepared our body to some degree for this. That doesn't mean that it's not going to cause death. It doesn't mean that it's not serious. It just means that our God's already aware and has already done things to help us through whatever new situation we go through. And more than anything else, He has already planned. Even if this epidemic were to take our lives, He's already there. He's already planned. He's already taken care of us. But He has something for us to do. And that is, nothing can hurt us if we are in Christ. Not even death. There's not a thing that can hurt us. If we believe God, we listen to what He says, and we do what He says to do, and we put our trust in Christ, there's not a thing that can hurt us, not even death. And I hope that's a lesson that we've all learned during these last few months. Bill Jones, one of our elders, is going to come back. I'm going to close us out with some announcements and with a closing prayer.